WLT, A Radio Romance, Chapter 1, Studio B. Studio B was the snakebite studio at WLT, the tomb of the radio mummy, and bad things happened to people who went in there. It was a big triangular room on the third floor of the Hotel Ogden, where WLT was located at 12th and LaSalle in downtown Minneapolis. Dad Benson said it felt like a vacuum chamber in there. Once he gasped for breath during Friendly Neighbor, and two huge dying flies dove into his throat and almost choked him to death. The Reverend Irving James Knox claimed he couldn't hear himself talk in there when he did Hope for Tomorrow. He was used to sanctuaries where his words rolled off the walls like ocean surf. In Studio B, the ocean hit a big sponge. Reed Seymour once got the hiccups so bad in there he lost his partial plate and had to gum the news. And a week later, three of the Shepherd Boys, the gospel quartet, slipped in and quietly de-pantsed him during a long account of a tragic house fire leaving six persons dead in St. Paul. He sounded like a talking dog. Every other day or so, the shepherds snuck in during the noontime news to play their little tricks on him. They spit in his water glass and pelted him with food and poured mucilage in his shoes. And one day they lit the script on fire and he had to read real fast. It was an obituary. He never got to the survived by part. So the next day, Reed locked the studio door. And then, after the newscast was safely delivered, the door wouldn't unlock, and they kept him there, frantic, wanging on the walls until the pee ran down his legs. That was the sort of thing that happened in Studio B. So none of the announcers liked to use B. They'd rather go in Studio A, the big studio, even with the musicians lounging around and smirking and dropping their pants, or sit in Studio C, an odd trapezoidal room covered with green acoustic tile and known as the gas chamber, because Leo Lavallee did his show Reflections in there and left it full of farts. Once he had to go in Studio B to record a couple dozen Minnesota Dairy Council commercials, and he ducked out to see a man about a dog, and when he came back, the remaining scripts were for Murray's Meats in Minneapolis. Oh, well, he thought, so he recorded them, including a line that the copywriter swore was not his. "Yes, folks, nobody beats Murray's Meat," a line that almost got Leo fired. "How could you read that and not see what it says?" said his boss, Ray Soderbjerg. Leo hadn't spotted it because he was trying not to laugh at an announcer named Phil Sachs, standing in the door with his finger poking out of his fly, waving it. A typical Studio B story. A red and green neon WLT sign hung over the Hotel Ogden marquee that flashed WLT, 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 the Friendly Neighbor Station. And then the Friendly turned bright red, and a cartoon man's face appeared in blue with a red derby hat, and his mouth line suddenly flashed a big toothy grin, and his eyes became sparkly white, and the hat tipped. And when the eyes sparkled, the lights in Studio B dimmed. Only in B, nowhere else. Gene, the chief engineer, checked the wiring. Nothing. It was a snake pit, that studio. That was all.